And turn, if you would, this morning to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to be looking at verse 16 this morning. And this is number 9 in a series that we've been going through on the Ten Commandments. And commandment number 9, of course, as we see here in Exodus 20, verse 16, it declares, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And so I've entitled this morning's message, "Tell the Truth." Amen? It's a simple commandment, but difficult to follow because of our fallen human nature. So this morning, tell the truth. In Boston, there was a minister who noticed a group of boys standing around a small stray dog. "What are you doing, boys?" said the minister. "Telling lies," said one of the boys. "The one who tells the biggest lie gets the dog." The minister was shocked. He was appalled. He said, "Why, when I was your age, I never ever even thought of telling a lie." The boys looked at one another, shrugged their shoulders, and says, "All right, I guess you win." The truth of the matter is, this commandment is something that we are all susceptible to because of our fallen nature. It is just within us as human beings, when backed into a corner, and then sometimes when not even backed into a corner, to not tell the truth. You know, Jesus had much to say about the truth. In John chapter 8, verse 32, he said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John 17, 17, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And then we remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate, the subject of truth came up. And Pilate therefore said unto him in John 18, 37, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." And then Jesus added, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So truth was very key in what Jesus Christ talked about while He was on this earth. And then as we move on into the epistles in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, and we've referenced this passage as we looked at the other commandments. When we looked at "Let him that stole steal no more," we referenced Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 25 of that chapter says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." You know, as believers, those of us who name the name of Christ, our life ought to be characterized by truthfulness. Our life ought to be characterized by honesty. Our life ought to be characterized by integrity. Abraham Lincoln, one of his nicknames was Honest Abe. I came across the story about him. The author says Lincoln was trying to make a point. His hearer was unconvinced and stubborn. So Lincoln tried another tack. He said to the disputer, "Well, let's see, how many legs does a cow have?" The disgusted reply came back, "Four, of course." Lincoln agreed, "That's right. Now suppose you call the cow's tail a leg. How many legs would the cow have then?" The opponent replied confidently, "Why, five, of course." Lincoln came back, "Now that's where you're wrong. Calling a cow's tail a leg doesn't make it a leg." And isn't that true? A leg is a leg, and a cow's tail is a tail. It doesn't matter what you call it. You know, and many times we try to hide our sinfulness and our tendency to break the ninth commandment behind terms like, "Well, it's just a little white lie." Or we may talk about stretching the truth, when in all honesty, the truth cannot be stretched. We clean up our lying by saying, I was being less than honest. Or we may say something like, well, I may have exaggerated a little. But it doesn't matter what you call it. A lie is a lie. And we are instructed in the Ten Commandments, and we are instructed throughout the Bible that we should not bear false witness. And so as we look at the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, I would submit to you this morning, you must live a life of truth. You must live a life of truth. Now, as we looked at the commandment there in Exodus 20, verse 16, and then even over there in Ephesians 4:25, when it's referenced by Paul, the commandment is stated as, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, I don't want you to be confused this morning by that word, neighbor. The word neighbor, if you have any kind of understanding of the Word of God, you'll know that the word neighbor goes far beyond the people who live on either side of you. But often we try to justify ourselves when we hear, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We think, oh, okay, well, I just got to be honest with the guy living next to me or the guy across the street. And that's very much what the lawyer in Luke chapter 10 tried to do when he asked Jesus, well, Jesus, who is my neighbor? You remember that story? And then Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'm sure this morning you're familiar with that story. The priest and the Levite walked by, but the Samaritan, the man who was from that nationality that was hated by the majority of those who were listening to Christ's parable, he was the one that stopped and helped him. We learn from that parable that our neighbor is anyone who is in need of us doing the right thing. So the truth of the matter is, we ought to tell the truth and we ought to be honest and ought to have a life of integrity with everyone. So you must live a life of truth. I want you to listen to what Warren Wiersbe says, commenting on where this commandment is echoed in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. He speaks about the devil calling God a liar. You remember back in Genesis 3:1 when Satan said to Eve, yea, hath God said? He questioned God's integrity. He questioned what God had exactly said. Wiersbe points out, whenever we speak truth, the Spirit of God works. But whenever we tell a lie, Satan goes to work. We like to believe that we help people by lying to them, but such is not the case. We may not see the sad consequences immediately, but ultimately they will come. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, it says, you know that no lie is of the truth. Wiersbe goes on to say, hell is prepared for whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's from Revelation 22:15. He goes on to say, this does not mean that anybody who ever told a lie will go to hell, but rather that those whose lives are controlled by lies, they love lies and they make lies, they are lost forever. The Christian's life is controlled by truth. And so this morning, we ought to strive to make sure that our life is characterized by honesty, is characterized by integrity, and that when people look at our lives, they don't look at us as someone who breaks the ninth commandment, that they don't look at us as a liar. And so this morning, as we look at the ninth commandment, as it was given there in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, it really had three main ideas to that commandment. I want to think about those this morning. And I've broken it up into three main areas where I believe we may be tempted to lie and to bear false witness. So this morning, as you live a life of truth, the first way that you can do that is by refusing to defraud others. Don't defraud. Harper's Bible Dictionary, talking about lying, gave a really good kind of understanding of what was meant when the ninth commandment commands them not to bear false witness. It says the act of telling falsehoods as truth. That's what lying is. That's what bearing false witness is. He says, Israel is exhorted against using God's name for false oaths and lying on the witness stand in the Ten Commandments. Witnesses who testify falsely will receive the punishment that would have been meted out to their accused. Now, I like to look at what the Bible says about that. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19. I want you to understand how serious in the Jewish mindset, how serious of an offense it was to bear false witness. And that can be seen clearly in the punishment that was ascribed to it. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we'll look at verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, I want you to notice the severity of the punishment. We'll start in Deuteronomy chapter 19. Start in verse 15. It says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So in other words, in their proceedings, if someone was accused of something, it was not sufficient enough just to have one person who would come to the judge and say, this person did this, and all of a sudden a punishment would be meted out. No, there had to be two at minimal, and preferably three, for a matter to be established. Then in verse 16, notice this. Now, if one of these witnesses, right, if they conspire together to tell a lie and to be a false witness, notice what the punishment is. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. In other words, they'll go and look at this matter. They'll question. They'll ascertain the truth. Verse 18, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, now look at verse 19, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt you put the evil away from among you. So if you came up and you accused somebody falsely of doing something, whatever the punishment was that those people who brought the false witness were seeking against that person, the punishment was that punishment was to be put upon the false witness. So they took this extremely seriously. And so in the first aspect of the commandment, I think we need to understand the danger of legally lying under oath. Today we would call it perjury. Back in that day they referred to it as being a false witness. But we ought to, as believers, not to ever be caught in a situation, not to ever be in a situation where we defraud somebody. In other words, whether legally or whether outside of the courtroom, by us telling a lie, we rob somebody of something they have a right to or some other type of property like that. If you want your life to be characterized by truth, then don't defraud. Don't be a false witness. Don't perjure yourself against other people. Not only should we make sure that we are not defrauding others, but I think another aspect of that command not to bear false witness is this, that if we want to live a life characterized by truth, then don't deceive. Don't defraud, and don't deceive. Listen to this quote by John Ruskin. He says this. Now, often we think about lying as something that is done with the tongue, and certainly, that is the most prominent way that lies are carried out, right? By people saying something that is untrue. But listen to what he says. He says, the essence of lying is in deception, not in words. A lie may be told by silence. Now think about that and let that sink in. A lie may be told by silence, by equivocation, by the accent on a syllable, by a glance of the eye attaching a peculiar significance to a sentence. Now, have you ever been around somebody who they'll say something and then later on you find out it's not true and you go back and you say, hey, I thought you said this, and they'll always like, oh, I didn't say that, I said, and then they'll say whatever it was, and yes, the very words that they used were not in themselves untrue, but the way that that person said it, they said it in a way to mislead you. Have you ever been in a situation like that? We need to make sure that as believers, we're not that kind of person. We need to make sure we're not the person that when someone comes back to us and confronts us with something, we're always having to say, well, I didn't exactly say that. You know, remember, I said this. Where we're deceiving not by the words, but in the way that we say it. Deception, lying, goes much further than the actual words that we say. It goes into the accents on the syllables. When we don't say things at the right time, there's much more to lying than simply the words that we say. It really is indeed deception, and deception should not be part of the believer's life. Listen to this illustration, a true illustration from a man who lived in Sheridan, Arkansas. He ran a grocery store back in the 1940s. It was a small little grocery store in the community, and one day there was a woman that came into his store who advised him that she was going to have company over and that she needed to buy the necessities for her meal preparation. She told the grocer that she needed a large chicken because she was going to be having a lot of visitors. He pushed his hand down into the bin of ice where the chickens were kept, and he came up with a chicken. When he put it on the scale, she leaned over the counter to see what the weight of the chicken was. She said, no, I need one larger than that. So he took that chicken off, put it back into the ice bin, but as he felt and fumbled around, he realized that was the last chicken that he had left. So he brought that chicken back up, put it on the scale, and then he hid his finger on the side and pushed the scale down so the chicken appeared to be larger than what it was. When she eyeballed the scale, she confidently declared to the grocer, that's great, I'll take both of those chickens. Now you can imagine his embarrassment when he had to explain to that woman, well really ma'am, I only have one chicken. And the real weight of that chicken is the amount that I told you the first time. He had been caught in a lie. What did he do? He deceived her in the way that he conducted his business. You know, that should never be the story of a believer. A Christian should never be the kind of person who would deceive somebody like we see that grocer did right there. You know, in essence, what that man was doing, he was breaking the ninth commandment. He was giving witness to the fact, saying, oh yeah, this chicken, I have this chicken, and it weighs more. You see, he was bearing false witness. We need to make sure that deception is not part of the characterization of our life. So live a life of truthfulness. Don't defraud. Don't deceive. And then lastly this morning, another way that I believe that we can break the ninth commandment is by demeaning others. By demeaning others. Not only should we decide not to defraud, we should also not deceive. We also should make it a point not to demean, not to slander, not to gossip. Spurgeon says regarding this, he speaks of a time when he visited the museum at Venice, and he talks about an instrument that he saw there, a weapon that was used by the old Italian tyrants. And what they would do with this weapon, they would put poison needles into this weapon. And then they would shoot it at whoever it was that they were trying to hurt. Spurgeon likens that weapon that would shoot the poison needles out at people. He says, we thought of gossips, backbiters, and secret slanderers and wish that their mischievous devices might come to a speedy end. You know, very much when we slander or when we gossip, it's very much like that weapon that Spurgeon was referencing that shoots out poison and hurts people. You know, we need to put away lying. Turn, if you will, over to Ephesians chapter 4. And I know I referenced this verse earlier, but I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 25. And a similar thing is said over in the book of Colossians. So it was good for the church of Ephesus, it was good for the church of Colossae, and I believe it's good for Aruka Baptist Church, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, we need to make sure that we don't defraud. We need to make sure that we don't deceive. And we need to make sure that we don't demean. Don't let it be said of your life that you're a gossip, a slanderer. Because really what a person does when they pass on information like that, whether it's true or not, what they are doing, and oftentimes it is untrue, but oftentimes the reason people do that, the reason people tell whatever nasty thing it is they know about someone else, is because when we tell something ugly about someone else, guess what that does? That makes us look better, doesn't it? Oh yeah, this person down the street, they did that, but of course I would never do that. See, talking about all the bad things that other people do and circulating that and passing it around really is just a way for us to bask in a self-righteousness that we really don't have. Don't let it be said of you that you're a slanderer, a gossip. Don't demean. Listen to this story. A woman repeated a bit of gossip about a neighbor, and within a few days, the whole community knew the story. The person it concerned was deeply hurt and offended. Later, the woman that was responsible for spreading the rumor learned that what she had spread throughout the community was completely untrue. So you get the idea of this woman. Here she spreads this bit of gossip all around and then later finds out that what she's told is untrue. Well, she was sorry that she had been the cause of this news circulating throughout the community. And so she went to a wise old man to find out what she could do to repair the damage. And this is what the man said to her. He said, go to the marketplace. Buy you a chicken there. Now, I didn't intend for my sermon to have a chicken theme, but it seemed to come out that way. Maybe that's because liars are chickens. I don't know. He said, and purchase a chicken and have that chicken killed. Then, on your way home, pluck its feathers and drop them one by one along the road. Well, a woman didn't understand why in the world he would want her to do such a thing, but she wanted to make the wrong right, so she went out and got the chicken, and then she dropped the feathers along as she went home. The next day she went back to the wise man, told him that she had completed the task. Then he replied to her, now, go and collect all those feathers that you dropped yesterday and bring them back to me. Well, the woman went back the same road, but to her dismay, the wind had blown the feathers all away. After searching for hours, she returned with only three of those feathers in her hand. You see, said the wise old man, it's easy to drop them, but it's impossible to get them back. So it is with gossip. It doesn't take much to spread a rumor, but once you do, you can never completely undo the wrong. You know, that's why we need to be careful and make sure that we are not a slanderer. Make sure that we're not the person that's spreading gossip. Dr. Ray Pritchard has a website, keepbelieving.com, and it's really been a good resource for me as I've prepared for the series on the Ten Commandments. He had something good to say about this commandment. He said one of the best ways that we can make sure that we don't break the ninth commandment is to practice creative silence. He references some verses. Proverbs 10:19 says, where words are many, sin is not absent. Did you get that? Where words are many, sin is not absent. but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 11:12, a man of understanding holds his tongue. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his tongue guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. And then Proverbs 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. And I want you to notice what Dr. Ray Pritchard says about silence. He says, truth-telling begins with silence. Speak less, and you will speak more truthfully. Now, folks, that's good advice. Speak less, and you will speak more truthfully. You know, and I'm including myself with this, I believe for most of us, we speak too much. We would do well to heed the words of Proverbs and hold our tongue. It would help us to be more truthful. He goes on to say, the more you say, the more likely you are to exaggerate, to slander, to mislead, and to stretch the truth. We need to practice creative silence. So this morning, I hope that you'll make up your mind, that you will not allow your life to be characterized as one that is dishonest, one that is characterized as a liar, as a slanderer, as someone who is a gossip. Resolve in your heart this morning to live a life indeed of truth. You know, I love Aesop's fables. Many times when we hear a truth put to a story, we can hold on to it. And I'm sure you've all heard the story of the boy who called wolf, who cried wolf. The story goes, there was a shepherd boy who watched a flock near a village. He would bring out the villagers three or four times a day by crying out, wolf, wolf! So here he is out watching the sheep. And just for fun, he'll cry out, wolf, wolf! Everybody from the village will run out to try to help the boy. And when the neighbors would come out, he would laugh at them. Ha, 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 there's no wolf. He thought it was a big joke. But as the story goes, the wolf did come one time at last. The shepherd boy, now truly alarmed, shouted in agony of terror, pray, do come and help me. This wolf is killing the sheep. But no one paid any heed to his cries, nor rendered any assistance. And the wolf, having no cause of fear, at his leisure lacerated and destroyed the whole flock. You know, the moral of the story is there is no believing a liar even when he speaks the truth. And believer, I want you to understand this morning, the most damaging thing we do when we let our life be characterized by lying is that we set ourselves up not to be able to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. If your neighbors and your friends and your co-workers and the people who you associate with, if they know that you're not truthful and that you're not honest, then even when you do tell them the truth about a God who loves them so much that He would step down out of heaven, take on human flesh, and go to the cross for their sins, they'll remember all those times when they heard you tell lies, all those times when you've been less than honest. And they will not want to believe the message that you have about the gospel, even though we know that that story indeed, we know that message is true. A liar cannot be believed even when they are telling the truth. I hope you'll make up your mind this morning to let your life be characterized by truthfulness, not by lying. It will hurt your witness. It will hurt your influence with people. In short, it will hurt your effectiveness for Christ if you allow your life to be characterized by dishonesty, by a lack of integrity, and by lying. So this morning, don't defraud, don't deceive, and don't demean. Let us heed the words of Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another.